You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jacob had very serious family problems. His own brother had sought to kill him. This forced Jacob to flee to another country. There, believe it or not, his own father-in-law cheated him and threatened him. Many years later, God asked Jacob to return to his own homeland. Jacob was scared to death. He did not want to go back. Jacob loved God, however, and he always obeyed the Lord. And so he began making arrangements to return to a situation of grave uncertainty. His heart was filled with fear. He knew that anything could happen, and it might even cost him his own life. Jacob prayed earnestly for help, and his first cries to God were selfish ones. They centered upon himself and his own self-pity. And yet the more Jacob prayed, the more his prayers began to change. He began to see how God had sustained him in the past. In Genesis chapter 10, we read Jacob's beautiful expression of thankfulness as he prayed, "I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which thou hast shown to thy servant." And so as we approach the end of another year, let us also, like Jacob, cast all selfishness aside. Instead of focusing in on luxuries we want, let us, on bended knee, express hearty thanks to God for his gracious abundance as he has met our needs in the past. An Arab princess was described in the Wall Street Journal. For her wedding, she wore a $150,000 wedding gown. You and I may not be as rich as she is, but we do have food to eat, and we do have clothes to wear. Let us then, the Bible says, be therewith content. A brief letter to the editor of Newsweek magazine pointed out a crucial element of our crazed, thankless, and self-centered culture. Millions unwittingly become victims of intense advertising. The astute writer stated, "Television advertising bombards the viewer with intense pictures of life as no one lives it, but as people feel that they should. If only they were thinner, they think. If only they were smarter. If only they drove a nicer car. If they only made better investments. And then some believe, then they would live fulfilled and thank-filled lives." The Bible, however, teaches just the opposite. It is when we are on our knees in the depths of despair because of our sins. It is when we don't know what tomorrow will bring. It is when we see our own total helplessness that we often begin to acknowledge who the Lord is. Then we frequently begin to realize that God has already done so much for us. Now, isn't it amazing that St. Paul, a brilliant man who had studied widely and traveled so much, isn't it interesting that he said in his later years, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance." Then he said, "I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And so now let's ask the question, what was the secret that St. Paul was speaking about? He answers our question in the next verse when he says, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." The apostle took no credit for his fulfilled life. This famous missionary refused to brag about his power to cope with life. Instead, St. Paul openly announced that his source of power came from outside of himself. His strength came from the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul's advice may sound simplistic to some of us, but let's be honest. It is a dog-eat-dog philosophy of life that we are so often encouraged to practice, isn't it? Paperback book publishers have located a new bonanza, books which give advice on how to get ahead in life by pulling strings and even stepping on others are selling like hotcakes. Those who slash their way to the top are often considered heroes. As a result, for the common decent person of today to find a life of peace and real meaning, he will need to follow something other than the latest success guru. And let's also recognize this. No mere mortal can offer this life of fulfillment and joy. No human personality possesses the qualities needed to transform our lives. This is why St. Paul stated, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. In the blessed Messiah, we see God's grace. In the loving Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we experience God's forgiveness. In the merciful Master, we comprehend that it is indeed in God that we live and that we move and that we have our being. You see, Jacob lived many generations before St. Paul, and yet they shared a common hope, a common life, and a faith in the same Savior. St. Paul was whipped and beaten in prison, but he never hated his enemies. Jacob was chased by his own brother like a dog, but later they embraced each other. And so then let us also examine our own lives. Perhaps God is permitting us to suffer in order to graciously draw us back to Himself. Perhaps God is permitting you to experience days of uncertainty and even days of despair so that you realize that all of your help comes from Him. God may even be using your family and personal problems to change your heart. Consider God's grace and mercy. And may He, through His love, draw you even closer to Himself. Ears of corn and heads of wheat, apples and oranges and grapes piled high, those are the traditional symbols of Thanksgiving. And yet this idea would not fit very well with our text for today. In our text, Jacob was in serious trouble. He was near panic, and although he was a man of considerable wealth, his situation here was lacking all the extra symbols which are usually present at a time of thanksgiving and celebration. His mind churned with endless anxiety, and even his stomach was uneasy as he thought to himself, "How is my brother going to receive me when I return home? My brother may even take my life. He may imprison my family. Oh, he may slaughter my camels and my goats." In his hours of anguish, God's sustaining spirit visited Jacob. Jacob's worries slowly dissolved. The scales of self-pity began to fall from his worried eyes. A vision of God's love and mercy was before him. Jacob was overcome by the realization that without God, he was nothing. Oh, what a blessing if only more of us had this attitude today. If only we were forced to our knees more often. If only we could realize that we are only one heartbeat from eternity. If only you and I could comprehend that the moment God would forget us, we would return to dust. Seeing our unworthiness and sensing our fleeting days, oh, may our Lord move us to say with Jacob, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which Thou hast shown to Thy servant. This is the only attitude which can lead us to a real thanksgiving. I am all wound up. I am so uptight I can't even sleep. These words of desperation flowed from the pen of a radio listener. Then he went on to list all of his worries and concerns. He had health problems. He got along very poorly with his family. He was angry at the church. And you know, it's amazing that he could even live with himself. Not a trace of thankfulness flowed from his bitter pen. How different was a second letter we received from a lady in Minnesota. She had been to an evening worship service. She and her husband entered the church sanctuary with a very heavy heart. They had had a bad day. They began singing hymns about God's love and mercy. Several verses focused on God's grace and forgiveness. Then the minister spoke on how the problems of the present day can never be compared to the glory which awaits all believers in Jesus Christ. Both husband and wife received a special blessing from the worship service. Now let me quote from the letter in which the lady describes her experience. Her husband had been suffering from insomnia for many months, but now, she writes, my husband slept all night. It was the first good night's sleep he had in ages. Yes, let's all take a tip from this lady and from Jacob. Instead of focusing on your problems, concentrate on the blessings you have already received. Oh, never refuse God's cleansing spirit. He can change a stony heart to an instrument of prayer and everlasting praise. This is how a better life can start for you. Begin every day by faith. Go forth believing God will not only protect you, He will richly bless you. When Jacob returned to his home country, he had no idea how his brother would receive him. He expected the worst. He prayed to God, "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me." This story sounds like a page from the morning newspaper. Family quarrels have left a trail of violence and tears all over our land. Uncontrolled tempers and stony hearts. These volatile human elements have been exploited by the devil to turn happy homes into ghettos of absolute hell. Children caught in the middle and seeing stubborn fathers and loveless mothers can only conclude that their family has to be about the worst place in which to grow up. Now, if this bitterness and hatred is going on in your home, it must stop. And if it does not, the guilty involved will experience the anger of God. Instead of suspecting your spouse and other family members, show them love and demonstrate true forgiveness. Go to them expecting that God will break down all those barriers that the devil has erected. You see, Jacob, too, was greatly worried about how his difficult relationship with his own brother would turn out. After Jacob spent time in earnest prayer, then he made plans to meet his brother. Jacob arranged to present his brother with a present. The Bible states Jacob selected 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. Then he asked his servants to present this gift of animals to his brother Esau. Jacob provided clear instructions. This is what he said. "When my brother meets you and asks you, 'To whom do you belong, and to whom do these animals belong?' then you shall say, 'It is a present for you, Esau, from your brother Jacob.'" After all these years of bitterness, would Esau accept Jacob's forgiving attitude in the gift? This was now the burning question. We cannot fully imagine the anxiety within Jacob's heart as the moment of truth rapidly approached. The gift of animals Jacob had prepared for Esau was sent ahead. Jacob and his family followed behind. Jacob now lifted his eyes and looked. Behold, Esau was coming. 400 men were with him. Jacob quickly divided his family. The children went with Leah and Rachel and the two maids. Then he put the maids and the children in front. Leah and her children were next, and Rachel and Joseph were last. Jacob passed on ahead of his family. He bowed down to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And then it all happened. Esau ran to meet Joseph. He embraced his brother. He fell on his neck and kissed him. These two brothers, so long apart and so weary by the destruction that the devil had worked between them, were absolutely speechless. The Bible simply states they wept. Oh, let this blessed reunion of these two brothers be a model for our fighting families and for our unhappy homes. Put away those barriers the devil has erected. Refuse to let the devil run your life and ruin your family. Work now toward a home filled with the harmony that God provides, and fight faithfully against all bickering and lovelessness promoted by the devil. Your gracious Heavenly Father is the author of peace and harmony. The devil is a perpetrator of pain, suspicion, lies, and bitterness. So today we say to you and your family, choose you this day whom you and your family will serve. And so now making the big step to new family relationships will not be easy. This step may well be one of the most difficult steps that you will ever take in your whole life. It cannot be done by the power of your own human will. A change in your life and in your family will never succeed based on your own futile human strength. Changing, you see, for the better begins with God. First consider your gracious Heavenly Father. Oh, may the words of St. Paul found in the book of Romans chapter 2 speak powerfully to our hearts as he says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" See God as he is, filled with mercy and overflowing with kindness. Only God's grace can turn our hearts. Only God's love can change our attitudes. And like Jacob, when we begin praying to God, our selfish desires will dissolve. It may come about slowly, but it will happen. our self-centered attitude will evaporate. Bitterness will be replaced with thanksgiving. Oh, may our hearts, especially during this season of the year, be moved to thanksgiving and to speak Jacob's prayer to God. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which thou hast shown to thy servant. With this attitude, a new life can begin with you and with your entire family. As impossible as change may seem at this moment, reject all temptations to accomplish it by yourself. Instead, say with St. Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see, bought our forgiveness with his precious blood on the cruel cross. And now this same Jesus offers this same forgiveness for us and for our entire family. God's power for you is in the crucifixion cross. God in Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to be friends again. It was while we were yet sinners, the Bible states, that Jesus Christ died for us. And so before you do anything else, look at God's endless mercy. Behold his perfect pardon. Let God's goodness make your heart a thankful one. A thankful heart is a blessing in itself. A thankful heart pleases the Lord. But even more, a thankful heart is a new start in life. Every day becomes more bearable. Every problem becomes less insurmountable. Family relationships become enjoyable. And all of this stems from the thankful type of attitude that Jacob had. In these days of thanksgiving, let us begin a new page in our lives by confessing, Lord, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which thou hast shown to thy servant. And so, my friend, make this your thanksgiving confession. God will bless you richly. Don't ever say that you can't do it. Instead, with great joy and absolute confidence, confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God grant this to you today. Amen.